In the meantime, I fell foul of the Admiral Superintendent at Trasyth. Port Edgar was part and parcel of the dockyard, and they kept dockyard hours, which did not fit in with the very uncertain hours we kept. Matters came to a head when, having arrived back after dockyard hours, we found everyone had retired to Edinburgh, where they mostly lived. The C&C had come in with the main fleet, and one of his first questions, as always, was, "How soon can you be ready for sea?" My reply was not at all satisfactory. The next day I had to explain the situation, and give it as my opinion that we could never get full value out of Port Edgar, unless it came directly under my orders, exactly like a depot ship. The waste of perhaps 12 hours, because the dockyard was closed, was intolerable in wartime. Sir David Beatty agreed. I do not know what passed when the Admiral Superintendent was set for, but I received a signal from him that I was to attend a dockyard conference tomorrow morning. He was very angry. He must have thought, I suppose, that I had been criticising the dockyard in some way. I hadn't, but had merely pointed out that the organisation as it stood was not suitable for our purpose. None of his remarks were complimentary, the gist of them being that I was a silly young captain who thought he could run things better than he could. And turning to his various heads of departments, he said, "Gentlemen, all your people will be out of Port Edgar by 9:30 tomorrow morning." There being a lull in the storm, I meekly remarked that it seemed hardly fair to give me less than 24 hours to take over. He, the Admiral, knew I had no resources on the spot, and would have to get all the ratings up from the depots in the south. "Ah, I thought so. I thought when it came to the point, you would find some difficulty." Of course there were difficulties, but it was no good saying so now. So I agreed it should be 9:30, and so Port Edgar came into being as a naval establishment. The Admiral's ire soon died down, and we worked in the greatest harmony for the rest of the war. At the moment, I had a busy 12 hours. We had to find riggers, fitters, turners, butchers, bakers, specially trained artificers for the gyro room, Whitehead shed, the oil pumping plant had to be kept going, and above all, the electric light plant and dynamo room. This plant supplied the light for the hospital and other important buildings besides Port Edgar itself. The wires were kept busy, the depots played up, and most of the men I wanted were in the train that afternoon, and in Edinburgh the next morning. My good friend, Quex Sinclair, had now taken on as Chief of Staff battlecruisers, and I could always rely on him to find a way out if there was a hitch. My senior half-flotilla leader had, it so happened, just been promoted, and I prevailed on him, with the C&C's approval, to let me install him as first captain of Port Edgar. Captain Cherry went into residence in a little tin hut, previously occupied by the pier master, and in the course of a very short time transformed it into what the house agents would call a highly desirable residence. That was the captain installed. But where should the men live? The Woolwich, the flotilla depot ship, happened to be the smallest depot ship existing, looking after the largest flotilla. She could not possibly accommodate any more. In fact, the housing of her present ship's company was acute. They were mainly berthed in a merchant ship called the Princess Louise. This ship was moored a mile or more from the Woolwich, and the time lost in transporting highly skilled ratings backwards and forwards twice a day was, in the aggregate, enormous. The Princess Louise also accommodated the sick and men under punishment. As the total number in the command was some 4,000, there were bound to be some both sick and, shall we say, indiscreet among them. The discipline was not good, and I made up my mind she must go, principally because we must get the men nearer their work and that could not be done with a ship of this size and tonnage. There was a shortage of merchant shipping, and it did not take long to convince everyone that here was a fine ship ready for sea, and we were no longer justified in retaining her merely for purposes of accommodation. The Columbine hulk was moored close to the Woolwich. She was used, or a bit of her was used, to berth Admiralty pilots. These latter were retained for piloting and berthing all tankers, storeships, etc., of which there was a constant stream going in and out. I made my second enemy, temporarily I hoped, by going on board the Columbine and informing the King's harbour master that I was going to ask the C&C if I could have the Columbine to accommodate 300 naval ratings, and what should he have to say about it. He was not happy about the idea. There was, he said, no other suitable place for the pilots. I had to find this, and as luck would have it, found a house right on the point by the old Queen's Ferry Harbour. It had a fine view down the Forth, and with room for the tugs to lay right under the windows. The house had been used as a boarding house, but trade was bad, and in a few minutes it had been secured for the Admiralty pilots. Back to the Columbine to explain how much more conveniently the pilotage work could be done from the house in question, and then to the Admiral to secure the Columbine. The C&C agreed the Princess Louise was to go, and the dockyard was to get out estimates for the necessary alterations in the Columbine. The estimate was much too big, and the time required out of the question. My chief carpenter sketched out what was necessary. Water, light, sanitary details, mess decks, petty officers' messes, six bay, and so on. It all had to be done in 10 days. Back again to the Lion to borrow from the chief of staff as many shipwrights, carpenters, electricians and plumbers as he could possibly spare from the battlecruisers. I was now, I suppose, public enemy number one to all the commanders in all the battlecruisers. But to the chief carpenter and all those ratings who worked like Trojans night and day, it is only now possible to express my thanks and appreciation. The depot ship's company were in the Columbine within 10 days, and the Princess Louise sailed.